across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Thursday morning, April 4th, 2024. Another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the app, through social media, or by podcast. It's nice to have you here. Thanks for subscribing, you podcast listeners, and taking us along on your day, where I've got a question for you. Are you ready for some big news? Because we're going to be doing just that in our second hour. You see, the spring elections are behind us now. And we're going to talk more about the spring election results with Joe Zepecki just under 30 minutes from now. But it also means a whole lot of folks are turning their attention toward elections this fall. A primary in August, a general election in November. We know, of course, about the presidential race and the race for U.S. Senate. But there are also races for legislature in all kinds of new districts now that the maps have been redrawn. And congressional districts as well are going to see some new faces. And we're going to talk about some of those today as people start to gear up for the next chapter of their own lives. And that's going to mean some changes to the show here as well. So you'll want to tune in around 7:30 or so to hear all about that. If you'd like to reach us at any point during the show, our phone number is 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call us. You can text us to that number as well. You can also text us through the Civic Media app. And if you're watching the live video feed of this on Facebook or YouTube, leave a comment there, and maybe we will pass that along as well. I'm ready for second winter to be over. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm hopeful that in the next week or so, temperatures will be quite a bit warmer than what we're seeing right now in the mid-30s, and that the sun's going to start coming up a little bit earlier, but we're not quite there yet. It's 35 degrees up here in Chippewa Falls. Hayward reporting 34. Park Falls at 31. Wausau's at 34, as is Green Bay. La Crosse, 36. Wisconsin Rapids, 35 degrees right now. Oshkosh, 36. Madison, 34. And it is 32 degrees in Waukesha, Wisconsin, where we find Greg Bach making sure that this fine program is heard by you. Good morning, Mr. Bach.
I have an announcement, too.
Oh, good.
I'm going to run Pat Kreitlow for President of the United States. We did it, everybody. We did it. Yay us. Yay.
No. If nominated, I shall not serve. Let's see. We're hearing from Alicia, who says on Facebook, up in Marinette, it's snowing here. And I believe
gross.
I think Alicia's also amongst the people that might be having announcements later today. Like I said, it's a big day. It's not that, some voters wouldn't say, hey, Biden, Trump, Kreitlow, let's give the new guy a chance. But seriously, what if we put Greg Bach on a ballot for something?
Actually, you're not the first person to say that to me.
Of course not.
When I worked in politics, when I was working for the mayor of Racine, people would ask me, are you going to run for something? And I would always say, I'd say respectfully no, because I am incredibly bad at the smile of the candidate.
Tact?
Yeah, I mean, I've got tact, but I'm also like in a debate, I'm not going to behave well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and unfortunately, we don't live in a day and age where Like we live in a day and age where a person without tact being mean gets to win, but a person right. without tact being honest and like calling out, they're like, well, that's just that. I can't. No, no. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So yeah.
I do. Oh, I know, because I just think back to my very first parade that I walked in as a candidate for state Senate back in 2006. And I was nervous and I asked Sherry if she would drive her convertible in the parade, and she was hesitant, but she agreed to. By the end of the parade, it was clear to me and to, you know, my new campaign staff that the wrong person was running and that Sherry should be the one running, because all these people in the crowd were like, Dr. Kreitler, Dr. Kreitler, and they're holding up, look, here's my baby that you delivered. Hey, Dr. Kreitler. And my staff was like, can we get her instead? And Sherry and I both agreed, like, no, that would not be good, because Sherry and you are two peas in a pod. Like, oh, I will tell you everything about what I really think.
Yeah.
And some people will love you for it. And others will go, oh, you can't talk like that. You can't be honest.
And that's my ultimate thing. It's like, you can't talk like that. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
It's just hard to market. We've put honest in focus groups and it doesn't do well.
Which, and unfortunately, you know, we have had that, I don't know if maybe fantasy is the right word, but in movies like Dave and the American President and others, like how refreshing that kind of candor would be.
Yeah.
But it almost always doesn't go over well. But like you were hinting at, the Trump brand of candor does play well with a certain subset of voters. And it's really, really unfortunate. It really shouldn't. It does.
William F. Buckley's son, Christopher, wrote a book about a campaign election, about a guy running for office. It was basically just like a campaign, and in the there's a scene where there's debate, and at one point one of the candidates just looks at the other one and just on national television in this book tells them, you know, expletive off. And it's called Boomsday. It's a great book. And when he does it, you're like, yes, that's what needs to happen in a debate. Someone just needs to lose their mind.
Well,
Trump way where you're like, oh, you're losing your mind, bro.
No, but you finally had in the fall of 2020, in that first debate between Trump and Biden, you finally had that landmark moment where Biden says, would you just shut up, man?
Yeah.
Because Trump wouldn't stop talking over him. And again, in all the years past, it would have been like, oh. And instead, it was like a big national exhale of, God, finally. Somebody just told this guy to shut up.
I think,
of course, he hasn't shut up. But, you know.
I think the only thing that Trump has normalized in the campaigning is now we do not get as... We don't clutch our pearls or even like bat an eyelash when we see a candidate or a politician swear in public.
No, he's definitely normalized that. And here's the thing with that and a lot of other norms and traditions.
Yeah.
You know, nobody wants to be seen as the stick in the mud saying, oh, we just don't do that. But all that means then is that we're able to slide further and further away from, you know, some notion of civility that we used to have, in, not just in politics, but in society overall, as we continue to treat first our politics, but pretty soon everyday life, like it's just another episode of the wrestling soap operas that are on, you know, almost every night of the week now. And they are. I mean, come on, people, call them what they are. They're soap operas. It's with a little bit of athletic, you know, prowess of jumping and slamming and things like that, but they're soap operas.
Please direct all angry comments and or emails to pat@patkreitler.usa.
Dot wrestling's fake.
Yeah.
Send it over here so that I can tell you to maybe spend a little less time on the violence and trying to be, you know, the maverick and everything, and maybe trying to help and serve other people. Which is, you know, what we're supposed to be seeing in politics, what we would see from a Sherry Kreitler or a Greg Bach or a whole host of other people who'd be really good at this but are smarter than I am, and said, nah, not going to do that.
No, I think honestly, to be perfectly honest, I think it takes a special person to run for office who has the
special
heart.
Kind of stupid. Yes.
No,
yes,
I mean, I think there are egomaniacs who just need that part of their brain stroked by the masses. But I think there are people out there who truly, like, you know, and that's the thing too, is I don't want to put my life up for, I mean, especially today, like you can't run for anything and not be criticized. I mean, school board members and librarians, and they're not even elected officials. It's just every position that's in the scrutiny of public eye is no thank you.
Oh yeah. And there are no,
he says on radio.
Yeah, there are no repercussions for lying, though. Yeah. I mean, again, you look at the things that were put in literature about Katie Rosenberg in order to unseat her as mayor, and you know the things that when you see it about yourself, and I have literally had, this is not an exaggeration, I have had millions of dollars spent against me.
Yeah.
You know, to slam me, to insult me, to put up those grainy black and white photos of you looking at your worst when your face is twisted.
Pat,
you know,
in between words. Donuts.
Exactly. Millions of dollars spent against me. And the one thing I will say is that some people that would happen and they'd turn into a puddle of goo in a corner and never come out. And for others of us, it's like, that's what you got to go through if you actually want to engage in public service. If you actually want to try to solve problems out there in the world.
Yeah, agreed.
You know?
Agreed.
And we need more people doing that. And that's why I'm very excited about telling you later this morning about some of the people who are going to be doing that and some of the people who are going to be asking for your vote. And I'm going to make the case again with Joe here in a couple of minutes. But the value of your vote as a Wisconsin voter, remember you were telling me just yesterday that one of the county board seats down by you had like a one vote margin.
Yes.
I learned after the show that somebody I know on a county board seat near Beloit, his race was a tie. Another friend of mine lost his county board seat, just west of here. And a lot of these elections are so close. I'm going to be telling you in a little bit with Joe about the margins on some of these school board or school referendums. And again, it is such a case of every vote counts. And for everything we just said about cynicism, man, we got to tuck that away on election day and you got to show up. Because otherwise you're letting other people make some key decisions without you. And that takes me into seeing Todd Alba last night. Todd has taken his show on the road this week, and he was in the Chippewa Valley yesterday, did the show from UW Eau Claire. And then we met with folks at Dooley's Pub on Water Street last evening. And I'll have more to say about it after the break, but I just wanted to make sure I started the show acknowledging that Todd and his regular guest, Trigvi Olson, were out and about with a simple theme of this trip. What makes Wisconsin great? For all the divisive topics and politics that we have on his show and on my show, you have to pause now and then and say, we're doing that because we love living here. And we want to talk about the things that make Wisconsin great. And we did that over cheese curds and cold beer last night. Ooh. And I really appreciate Todd doing that. So we'll pause here. We'll have a little bit of sports and get back to unpacking the news ahead of some big announcements today on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Bit of Santana, not because Santana itself is a part of today's history lesson, but the person who signed them to a record deal is. So that and much more coming up about a half hour from now. Let's check some sports at 6:20. Jackson Churio became the youngest player in 6 years to hit a home run in the bigs, but it wasn't enough for the Brewers, who lost to the Twins yesterday afternoon 7-3. Churio led off the fifth inning with a 402-foot drive. Churio signed an $82 million 8-year contract during the offseason. He's only 20 years and 23 days old, but he's batting .350. He's got a hit in each of his first five Major League games. He is the youngest player to homer in Major League Baseball since Juan Soto did it as a 19-year-old 6 years ago. Churio is the youngest Brewer to homer since a 19-year-old Gary Sheffield did it in 1988. Reese Hoskins also went deep for the Brewers, and that the crowd went wild on that one. The Brewers lost their first game after a 4-0 start. The Brewers are off today. They will start a 3-game series at home against Seattle. Freddy Peralta will start tomorrow, and then next week there will be a road trip to Cincinnati and Baltimore. But you can catch tomorrow's game on News from the Center in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine, Oshkosh Air Support, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. The Milwaukee Bucks, meanwhile, lost for the fourth time in the past five games, falling at home to the Memphis Grizzlies 111-101. The Bucks were playing without Damian Lillard, Chris Middleton, and Patrick Beverley. Since Doc Rivers took over as coach on January 26th, the trio of Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton, and Damian Lillard has only played together for six out of the 40 games that they have played since January 26th because of injuries and other matters. The Bucks will next play at home tomorrow night, and you will be able to catch that game on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids and Lake Air in Amory. So there's a little bit of sports for you at 6:22. Turning to a moment before, no, let me back up a step before I talk about Trump and his immunity deals. Let me mention that the Up North News Daily newsletter comes out every morning about 5 a.m. Christina Laurie puts it together. Today is National Library Day, and she has an article in there about the Carnegie Libraries that were built across the country by the, how do you describe Andrew Carnegie, a steel baron, a railroad baron? Anyway, baron is what we're looking for because, again, I'm begging for that old man Bell now occasionally. And by the way, I do know that some people say his name was Carnegie. I hear you. I just know a lot of folks still pronounce it Carnegie. Anyway, he used a lot of his wealth to build libraries around the country, including 63 Carnegie Libraries built in Wisconsin between 1901 and 1915. And so there's a link to the list of which ones are still standing, which ones are still being used as libraries. So you can check that out. Also, you might have thought that there was a race missing from your ballot on Tuesday's election, but there wasn't. Because there have been state Supreme Court races, especially a big one last spring, doesn't mean that there's one every spring. We'll explain why. And it turns out that the Cap Times newspaper in Madison has a new limited series podcast that focuses on the Wisconsin season of Top Chef. So take a look at that and more in our newsletter. Sign up at our website at upnorthnewswi.com. I know that Greg is busy on Wednesday nights, and so he doesn't get to watch Top Chef on Wednesday nights. So we spend a little time talking about it with Luke. But I do have to at least acknowledge that what you'll get out of it, if you go look at it later on, was this was basically the infamous cheese episode.
Oh, and, wow.
And you give them cheese, but then they've got to turn it into some very, very fancy dishes. But they had to do it. They filmed this at a time when they were cooking outdoors on a farm someplace, and it was 95 degrees that day.
Oh, I heard about that. Oh,
not ideal cooking conditions. No. So there was a little drama involved in that. But I especially loved the first part, the challenge that they had at the beginning. They talked all about Door County cherries. Mm-hmm. And so there were these baskets and baskets of cherries. But then they said, okay, now you have to pair it with a mystery ingredient. And so they all had to open a little door to see what was behind it for their mystery ingredient. Imagine being told, here's some cherries. You get to cook with them or bake with them. Yay, wonderful. No, you've got to pair it with this onion or these bamboo shoots or this ginseng or these chicken livers. And I'll tell you what, a lot of them pulled it off. Often by making like a cherry glaze with these ingredients that they then put over a steak or over salmon or something like that. But when you first see it, you're like, okay, this is why I'm not, you know, this is why I'm not a chef. This is why I don't do a lot of cooking, because of the stuff that that they can do, that they can imagine that I can't even fathom how they came up with some of these things. But
I
they
would
do.
Love to have a piece of salmon with a good glaze on it.
Oh, yeah. Yep, and they now those were the ones made in the indoors in the traditional kitchen, and they turned out just fine. But yeah. Boy, if you're cooking it at 95 degrees, the only way you're doing that with me is if it's a tailgate, you know, right before we go into a midsummer Brewers game. But we'll talk more with Luke.
I'm sorry, can I just say one thing? I went to opening day. It was raining like it was like we had hurt God's feelings, and people were tailgating. That's all I'm going to say about it. Come on, people.
Shouldn't tailgate in these kinds of conditions? Is that what you're saying?
Be smart about it. Come on, people. All right. Sorry. Okay. I apologize.
Nope. No need. That's just fine. The Marquette University Law School poll that comes out a couple of times a year is the one that you're normally used to hearing about. But there's another one that they've been doing for at least a couple of years now. And it's a poll, it's a national poll, not a Wisconsin poll, that focuses on the U.S. Supreme Court. and public attitudes about the U.S. Supreme Court and cases and issues that may come before it. And you draw your own conclusions from this, but I really wanted to share one of the questions that came out in the poll, I think, yesterday. The Supreme Court is going to hear arguments soon about whether former presidents have, as Trump likes to say, total immunity from criminal prosecution for conduct during their time in office, which again makes no sense because we don't have a monarchy here. And yet this conservative Supreme Court is slow walking the case, you know, agreed to hear it and is at some point going to make a ruling on it. And of course, the whole thing just stinks to high heaven. But the Marquette poll folks asked a question about it. Half of the sample was asked a question that named Donald Trump in the question, and half got a question referring only to former presidents and whether they should have total immunity. And this is very telling here. Among Republican respondents to this poll, when asked about should former presidents have immunity, only 32% said yes. That's still a troublingly high number, but 32% said yes about former presidents. But for the people that were asked specifically about whether former President Donald Trump should have total immunity, that number jumped up to 55% of Republicans surveyed currently believe that Donald Trump should have total immunity for anything that he might have done in the way of criminal conduct while he was in office. To which I can only say to anybody that might be listening who thinks that they're in that bucket and nodding along with it, I know it sounds trite, but I'm going to say it again. Just imagine Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, or some other Democrat doing that. Would that still be your answer? And if it isn't, look at that question from a generic standpoint again, and maybe let's... Up North News Radio continues for this Thursday morning with Joseph Pecky. Joe, how's it going today?
It feels like election year. What a month this week has been.
It is. And it doesn't help when, you know, you're trying to get work done while the Brewers have their first, you know, home matinee of the year. And so as I'm watching that yesterday afternoon, first your spirits are up. Jackson Churio hits this, beautiful home run, his first in the bigs. And then, you know, the pitching gives up the winning runs to the Twins. You add that on top of everything you're doing for election week, and it makes for a long day.
As much as we were making the 162-0 joke, I don't think we ever thought we were going to run the table. So, you know, hot start for the Brewers.
No. Yes, and again, there'll be plenty to talk about with the Bucks postseason. But anyway, these are all mere distractions from the real work at hand, which has been a very busy couple of days here of interpreting election results. And the one I want to start with from you is whether you share the view that I certainly have, that for all the talk about people not voting for Biden, they're going to vote, what is it, uninstructed or uncommitted? Well, for all the people that did that, there were so many more Republican voters, Republican primary voters, who didn't vote for Donald Trump. And I think, much like Craig Gilbert's article in the Journal Sentinel a couple of days back, I think the Trump campaign has every reason to be concerned about where they're going to get moderate voters in Wisconsin this year.
If they're not concerned, they're not paying attention, and I don't believe that to be the case. To provide some additional context on this, Minnesota and Michigan are two fairly similar states to Wisconsin in terms of not just our geography, but demographic makeup, the mix of big, you know, urban centers and smaller rural communities. And in both of those states that voted earlier in the presidential primary, that uncommitted or uninstructed number was significantly higher, almost twice as many votes percentage-wise cast. Now, that does not mean that the 40,000 or so uninstructed votes did not make their point. I believe that the president of the United States, Joe Biden, hears the criticisms. I believe that he is doing everything he can to bring a resolution to the bloodiest parts of the conflict underway in Gaza right now, working with all of the people he has made relationships and built relationships with in his decades of public service. to try to get to a just and lasting stability in the Middle East. And I believe that the 40,000 or so uninstructed voters this week are people who are very savvy and knowledgeable about the world and the choice. And they understand that now that the message has been sent, there is a choice. And the choice is between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. And there is just no question who would lead to a more stable world, who would have more success in pursuing a two-state solution to this conflict. And, you know, on to the next in terms of, you know, Biden and the work he has to do to rebuild the coalition. And getting to the Trump side of it, the distinction in the vote against Trump is it's not organized. It's not funded. There were no mail pieces going to Perfect Spring voters. There were no press conferences with elected officials from across the state of Wisconsin urging a vote on the Republican side against Trump. This was all organic. And it was three times as many raw votes as it was on the other side that were not ultimately cast for the presumptive nominee of the party. And so it's not just the Nikki Haley number. You got to look at the aggregate of Nikki Haley plus Vivek Ramaswamy and Chris Christie and Ron DeSantis and all the rest. And so the fact that Trump can't even crack 80% in a state like Wisconsin that is absolutely essential should be a five alarm fire, politically speaking, for the Trump campaign. And, you know, the other part of what happened this week that I think is worth noting is one of the ways that this choice is really crystal clear is that Joe Biden, love him, hate him, fall somewhere in between. I don't think anybody doubts that the things he's trying to do and the things that he has done as president are designed to make the lives of ordinary Americans better. Lower drug costs, better jobs, higher wages. That's about the people of this country. Donald Trump, 99.9 times out of 100, it's about him. And for him to come to Green Bay, Wisconsin this week on election day and cause a big hubbub and draw out all the MAGA Republicans, not as many as he used to, but still filled the ballroom, and then to see control of the Green Bay City Council flip from conservative to progressive, and the MAGA candidates who lost, I think three of them fell short by less than 100 votes. You can't tell me that there weren't MAGA voters up in Northeast Wisconsin who went, well, you think we got time to go vote? No, we got to get in line for the Trump show before the good seats get taken. I think Donald Trump cost MAGA conservatives control of the Green Bay Common Council, and it's just so rich and wonderfully ironic that the guy who it's all about him made it all about him on election day, and MAGA Republicans are the ones who paid the price.
That would be amazing. That just blows me away. And it leads into my other point here about how every vote does matter. And we'll get back to the raw politics of things in a moment, but let's stick with those tight margins. Because look at these school referendum numbers, some of them. Obviously, some had huge margins, but you know, in Richland, a referendum passed by only 12 votes. In Luck, it passed by only 16. In Osceola, a referendum failed by just 14 votes. In Prescott, by 12. And in Bristol, it failed by just 10 votes. Joe, I don't know how much more we can say to everybody out there about how important their vote is and the power that you have as a Wisconsin voter compared to almost anywhere else in this country.
Your vote is worth more. Full stop. Your vote matters more here than it does if you lived in South or North Dakota or California or, you know, any of these other big states that we know what the outcome is going to be. And we were reminded of that. You know, those are smaller communities. The MPS referendum was also very close, not as close as the one 2 years ago in Racine, where that school funding referendum passed by 5 votes.
Oh, that's right.
Right. So, yeah, 10 or 12 votes is a landslide compared to the 5 votes that Racine got theirs done by. And it matters. It matters if you vote. I also think one of the school funding takeaways from yesterday that is going to be a problem for Republicans is that when 80% of the school districts in this state have had to go to referendum in the last decade, when 25% of school districts have to go to referendum this year, at a time when the state is enjoying a surplus, it really drives home the the way that funding has been supported out of Madison by this Republican legislature, it's just not good enough. It's hitting districts that are small and large, urban and rural, and certainly suburban. And there has to be a better way forward when it comes to how we fund schools and invest in the next generation and develop the workforce of the future. And if all of these referenda and the razor thin margins that they come down to doesn't tell that story, I have a sneaking suspicion that some Democratic candidates for the legislature will be making that a big part of their campaign in the fall.
Well, and they can certainly point to things that Republicans could have done but chose not to do. And a great example of that came up on election night, where there was a big swing in the votes for the Milwaukee school referendum around 11 p.m. And suddenly all the usual suspects were crying foul about, oh, is there something wrong in Milwaukee that there was such a massive vote swing, when they know what they did. They know what they didn't do. They didn't pass the bill that would allow absentee ballots to be counted earlier instead of late at night. I find it unfathomable that they still think people believe them when they talk about this.
Yeah, they got what they wanted. There is an element on the far right that believes it is to their advantage to be able to sow distrust in our voting systems. And that's a shame. We know that if brought to the floor, the Monday processing bill would pass. We know the governor would sign it, and our elections would be even smoother. And I got to tell you, yesterday went well. I think there was one flare up with some people inside of the buffer zone of 100 feet from polling locations. It was taken care of very quickly, despite the fact that in the state's largest municipality, the county clerk and the city clerk sites in Milwaukee went down. There was never any question that there was insight and transparency. Even had WEC commissioner and fake elector Bob Spindell right there at Central Count in Milwaukee. You had members of the media broadcasting from there, sharing pictures, demonstrating to the public that all of this happens in the light of day. And there's no funny business going on. And so the fact that despite some of those challenges, despite decisions made in Madison by Republicans, we were still able to get basically all of the vote counted and in before midnight. I think that's a win for democracy. And we should recognize that and all of the poll workers who made it happen, because it has never been more difficult or scary to be in those roles because of conscious choices by those who perpetuated the big lie and still are doing it to this day, including foremost among them, Donald Trump, on his first trip to Wisconsin in 2 years, restating the big lie over and over again on right-wing radio before he got to town and from the podium as he endorsed California man Eric Hovde, you know, with the support of Ron Johnson, who he had apparently picked up in Florida because that's where Ron Johnson hangs out when he's not in the Senate. I mean, it's just, it sounds like a bad joke, but everything I just said is true. Mm-hmm.
Still, there's going to be work to do to overcome, again, either the misinformation or the straight up lying that's going to be, you know, repeated so often in campaigns like this. And I'm thinking specifically in this instance of the latest Wall Street Journal poll that showed 63% of Americans think that the overall economy is not good or poor. And yet a clear majority, 57%, said, well, the economy in my state is actually going great. And again, whether it's a COVID hangover, if it's just, you know, general dissatisfaction, the Biden folks clearly still have work to do for people to, I would say, better appreciate the things that they have been trying to do for the consumer, for the homeowner, for the person who cares about the climate. And there's still plenty of time to do that. Don't get me wrong, but there's still definitely work to do, isn't there?
No question. And there's time to do it. By my countdown calendar in my phone, which I noticed yesterday marked 200 days until early in-person voting starts for the fall general election. That means absentee mail balloting will begin a little bit before that. And when you've got 200 days or less to really make the case, you want to have the financial resources to do it. Among the other things we learned in the last week is how dramatic the fundraising difference is between Team Red and Team Blue right here in Wisconsin and nationally. The Joe Biden campaign and Democrats have the financial resources needed to communicate and tell a story to the voters of Wisconsin and to this country about what this administration has done. and how it stands in stark contrast to the failed policies, chaos, division, and violence of the last four before that. And what are Republicans doing? They're if they're giving money, it's going right to Donald Trump's legal protection racket. So I would rather be Joe Biden today than Donald Trump. And that's not just because he's got a trial date starting in about 10.
Yes. Although not to splash a lot of cold water on this, but when I see just the raw numbers of fundraising between, you know, the Biden campaign and the Trump campaign, I am reminded again of, you know, in this Citizens United era, how much outside money can come into a state, whether it's, you know, in the past couple of weeks that took out, you know, Katie Rosenberg up in Wausau, or the money that took out Mandela Barnes, you know, in his run against Senator Ron Johnson. That's just the world we live in now, that the money can come from almost nowhere and not be, you know, can't trace the money, can't trace the source of the misinformation that's coming in. It's never been more difficult, and yet never been more critical for a voter to really try to pay attention to who's talking straight to them.
Yeah. And listen, I could sing hosannas about how late money matters less than early money. I'm not going to do that. We don't have time for it. And it's too long a story for radio anyways. But the best defense against that is a clear, consistent conversation with voters. That's where your listeners are opted in and are doing that by listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It's what we need from folks is for them to tell the story as well. And that story means more in April than it does in September or October, when so many people will have made up their mind and are just trying to tune out the final stretch of it.
And where at that point, we may be talking about how the Brewers managed to go 161-1 on the season. You know, the dream is still alive. Joseph Pecky, thank you so much as always. Have a great start to the weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Back with more after this. You're up north.
Can't buy me love, love, can't buy me love. I'll buy you love.
Back now with today's history lesson and musical memories for this 4/4/24. Kristen Lyerly joins us as well, as often on Thursday mornings. How are things this morning, Dr. Lyerly?
So good. When your morning starts out like this.
That is because, and Roger noted this in a comment on Facebook as well, too, on this day in 1964, the Beatles held all five top spots on the Billboard Hot 100. Number five was Please Please Me. Number four was I Want to Hold Your Hand. Number three was She Loves You. Number two was Twist and Shout. And the number one song this day in 1964, Can't Buy Me Love.
This was my first album, Pat.
It was.
Yeah, it's how I fell in love with the Beatles.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I think the only group who came closest to doing this was the Bee Gees, who had five of the top 10.
Right. Mm-hmm. And people are going to say, oh, wait, nowadays it happens all the time. Yeah, it's a streaming thing, you know. Back then, you had to go to a store, and you had to buy records, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now you're just asking for it.
Well, yeah, of course. Birthdays today include Anthony Perkins, the director and actor, was born this day in 1932, passed away in 1992. Robert Downey Jr. is 59 years old today.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Academy Award winning.
Yes.
Robert Downey Jr.
The late Heath Ledger was born this day in 1979, passed away back in 2008. We played a little Santana earlier because Clive Davis, the music mogul who founded Arista Records and signed that band and so many others, he turns 92 today, so happy birthday.
Holy
to
cow!
Him. I mm-hmm. know.
Whitney Houston, mm-hmm. so many others.
Oh, the list is so long. On this day in 1963, Bye Bye Birdie, the play was turned into a movie and released on this day. And, you know, my one takeaway from it is this little musical snippet, I think, by Paul Lynn.
Kids, I don't know what's wrong with these kids today. Kids, Who can understand anything
ding, ding, ding,
they
ding,
say?
Ding, 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 ding.
Ring this bell over and over and over.
Between this and Hollywood Squares, come on.
That's all I can think of when I think of Paul Lynn.
Yep. Janet Leigh, Dick Van Dyke, Maureen Stapleton, Bobby Rydell, Ed Sullivan, Anne Margaret. This was the movie that launched Anne Margaret into sex symbol stardom. And I miss Paul Lynn and Hollywood Squares so much. I can't even say most of the stuff that he got away with.
Oh my God, Pat! What are we talking about?
The king of the double entendres in that movie that was released on this day. On this day in 1981, the number one album was from Styx, topping the album chart with Paradise Theater, with singles that included "Too Much Time on My Hands" and this.
I'm just imagining a teased-haired Kristen.
Oh, Kristen's hair is so big in this, I'm sure. Yes.
Hanging out at the roller rink.
Yes. Let's see. The Space Shuttle Challenger made its maiden voyage this day in 1983. Microsoft was founded by Bill Gates and Paul Allen this day in 1975. The Twin Towers of the World Trade Center were officially dedicated this day in 1973. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated this day in 1968. Starship's Nothing Gonna Stop Us Now, used in the movie Mannequin, hit number one this day in 1987. We will play that a little bit later on. Kendrick Lamar's critically acclaimed album To Pimp a Butterfly hit number one on the album charts this day in 2015. The U.S. Congress affirmed the flag at the time of 13 red and white stripes and one star for each state, 20 at the time on this day in 1818. On this day in 1841, President William Henry Harrison died of pneumonia, first president to die in office and had the briefest administration at 31 days. And this is the anniversary of NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Alliance, started on this day in 1949. We mentioned earlier, Kristen, that this is National Library Day. It's School Librarian Day. And I don't think I have the list in front of me anymore of the Carnegie libraries that went up around the country. So I don't know if Green Bay. Oh, here's the list. I'm going to take
Kakana
a look now.
Kakana has one.
Kakana? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was just in Puerto Rico and they had one in San Juan.
Yes. Oh, Green Bay's is standing, but serves another purpose, according to the key here. Same with the one in Eau Claire, which went on to become part of City Hall. Sadly, the one in Chippewa here is no longer standing. Same in Beloit, Fond du Lac, Madison, Manitowoc, and several other cities. But yeah, it's a good day to appreciate your librarians. Mm-hmm. Let's see. What do we got? Today is National Burrito Day.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go.
National Carrot Day.
Boo.
Don't want carrots in the burrito. Discover National Parks Fortnight. Jeep 4x4 Day.
Wait, what? Discover National Parks
Fortnight?
Go back.
What?
Fortnight. It's Discover National Parks Fortnight. Apparently over the next fortnight, which is how many days?
Oh, 2 weeks.
I was thinking about like Fortnite, the game.
Not the game. No. Yeah, go to a national park and play a video game. No.
There's a lot of kids there's a lot of kids who want to do that, Pat.
I know. And take those tablets away. It is Cordon Bleu Day, which is what the ham and Swiss cheese.
Watch out, that cheese is hot.
Yes. Uh-huh. It's National Vitamin C Day, which I hope doesn't get us in trouble with Kristen the way triglycerides did last week. And finally, it is Hug a News Person Day.
Oh, Pat.
I know. And so virtual hugs all around for everybody. Yeah. Be gentle.
Find Terry Bell and just hug him.
Poor Terry. That's it. Terry Bell. I hope he's not listening. He's going to get all kinds of random hugs today and have no idea what's going on. What's going on later today, Kristen? We've got Women Win Wisconsin, and you can tell the calendar is flipped from spring to fall.
Yeah. I mean, what a great election we had. I don't know about you guys, but here in Green Bay, we flipped our city council.
Let's come back to that because people could hear when Joe Zepecki said this about 15 minutes ago, mm-hmm. Blew my mind. I had said for several days that I wonder if Trump coming to Wisconsin on election day would make a difference, if it might cost Republicans a few votes. And as Joe pointed out a little bit ago, the Green Bay City Council got flipped by enough votes that you can credibly say
that people who went to Trump's rally to cheer him on cost them the majority on their city council. Good job, former President Trump.
Well, I think a lot of people who went to that Trump rally, too, were not from the Green Bay area. I mean, this was not like an April 2nd reflection of what's happening here. This is a reflection of what's been happening in northeastern Wisconsin for years, really since 2020. I think it all really started when we elected Jill Karofsky. So yeah, we're pretty excited about this new city council that's going to be functional. And Eric Genrich is thrilled to be able to be looking to the future instead of being muddled in all these problems that he's had to deal with.
Oh, and he does deserve that after coming through that bruising reelection campaign before. So much more news. Maybe you too.
Maybe.
Maybe. That's as good as we get to a tease, folks. More than